From the inspiring international adventures series, YWAM Publishing presents Sunrise in the Valley of Death, God's Love and Transformation in Yemen by Amira Ann. Read for you by Rebecca Gallagher. For information about other titles in this outstanding series, please visit our website at ywampublishing.com or call us at 800-922-2143. Prologue. Fire. September 17th, 2005. A deafening explosion jolted us from our sleep. My husband, Chris, jumped out of bed and tore open the door to the balcony of the bedroom. It was 2 a.m. and we were both wide awake. He looked down below and saw that our car was on fire. He knew right away that the house was also in danger of going up in flames.
"Amira, call the neighbors and alarm the fire department,"
he yelled with a hoarse voice and slipped on some shorts and a t-shirt. We had just returned to Yemen from Germany 2 days before, and were still feeling the jet lag. But the rush of adrenaline put us on high alert. I had so many questions as I rushed over to the phone.
"Was that an explosion? What's happening? What's the Arabic word for fire department?"
But the questions would have to wait. Chris, usually calm and level-headed, stormed down the stairwell, taking 3 steps at a time. This was a precarious situation. The car could explode any minute. Soaring flames were about to reach the parched 25-foot neem trees in our front yard. If that happened, the fire could expand and endanger the whole neighborhood. Chatecha, one of my best friends in Yemen, lived right next door. Our houses were separated by only 2 narrow alleys and a 6-foot fence. The flames could easily leap from house to house. Chatecha had always been the nervous sort. Whenever her husband went to work in his restaurant in the city 12 miles away, she felt abandoned and frightened. Now she ran out onto the street, dressed in her nukba, headscarf that covers the entire head down to the chest, lithma, face veil that covers the entire face but can be folded over to allow for eye slits, and balto, black floor-length cloak, and screaming hysterically. Grabbing her 4 boys, still half asleep, and the frightened goat that lived with them, she sat down at the side of the road and sobbed over her bad luck.
"Ya Allah! Oh God!"
She completely forgot that she was supposed to call for help. But it didn't matter anyway, because as we found out later, there was no fire department in South Yemen. Meanwhile, Chris tried to contain the blazing fire with water from the garden hose, but it was too short and the water pressure too weak to do any good. He stood behind the front door of our house, even though he knew it wouldn't protect him if the car's gas tank exploded. Our 3 boys, David, Martin, and Tim, were asleep in their room in the back of the house. Since I figured they would be safe, I ran down the stairs to wake up Enrico. He was our kid's 19-year-old teacher, who had just graduated from high school and had joined us here in Yemen. He jumped out of bed and rushed up to the roof of the house, where the water tanks were. I grabbed a few buckets and bowls to fill with water. From above, Enrico emptied the buckets onto the engulfed car, trying to douse the blaze. But the towering flames and biting smoke made it difficult for us amateur firemen. Even the damp rags we had used to cover our mouth and nose didn't help much. I was amazed that the water tanks were still full of water, since we had had a water shortage for quite some time. About 3 months before we arrived in Yemen, the city had done a lot of construction work, because the president, his son-in-law, who was the governor of Hadramaut, and all his ministers were coming to celebrate the 15th anniversary of the reunification of North and South Yemen. The construction work had damaged many of the water pipes in Mukalla, allowing much of the city's water supply to leak out. Whatever water remained was used for mixing cement and building new streets. They also planted trees and bushes along the entire road leading to the airport. Keeping things green here was, however, a huge waste of precious water. Since the work had begun, water had had to be transported in tank trucks from far away to fill the water tanks in the city. The fire was still crackling loudly when we heard somebody impatiently pounding on our gate.
Salam alaikum. Peace be with you. Open up. We want to help.
It was Fuad, our young neighbor from across the street.
I can't. It's too hot. The car could explode any minute. I can't get past the fire.
Chris was thankful for the offer, but he was also very frustrated. All of a sudden, the car horn began to blow. It was as if it were sending out a continuous distress signal. A cold shiver ran down my spine, and I screamed,
"Chris! Chris! Chris!"
Suddenly, the car engine started up. I screamed even louder. The car rolled a few feet forward toward the gate. It was strange. I was still on the roof looking down at this strange happening. I couldn't see very well due to the thick smoke, but I thought maybe Chris had jumped into the burning car to try to get it away from the house and protect his family. Perhaps he was unconscious with his head on the wheel. That would explain the incessant honking of the horn. My face grew pale, and I feared I was losing my balance. I panicked.
"Chris, where are you?"
My desperate cry echoed across the roofs of the sleeping city.